Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk, All Ashes, the podcast that discusses everything Ashes of Creation related. My name is Frenzy, and I am joined by my brother, Subjective.
Hello again.
And we're doing things a little bit different, so we'll see how this podcast turns out. We're recording this live in person. Sub, with a wonderful hurricane that went overhead, lost power, so we just finished watching the developer update. We are trying to record it in person, and we're going to just see how that goes. So hopefully things turn out pretty decent, and we're winging it basically right now. But we will dig right in. Obviously, if you're interested, if you enjoy us talking about Ashes of Creation, subscribe, like, comment, all that wonderful stuff that we appreciate you guys doing. But we're just kind of reacting to the September developer update. We're just really going to kind of like dive basically straight into it, kind of like what we saw, what we felt. It was a long one. They obviously went over a lot of different things. We'll try to get into the best we can. I recorded the podcast Wednesday, just me. Sub is back. We're glad to have him. And it's gonna be pretty cool because we're now less than a month away from Ashes Alpha 2 Phase 1. So we're quite literally around the corner. This week, this month, I should say, the developer update was really focused on kind of like an Alpha 2 guide. So we kind of got to like see the starting zone and some of the things that maybe we can, you know, encounter and see how that kind of works out. Obviously, they gave us like a look and some information about what to expect and things like that too, which we'll kind of be going over. But I guess what was your initial feelings, reactions, all that good stuff, just kind of based on what we saw, Sub?
So I'm going to be kind of a dick here, but I did not watch your solo podcast. I'm not sure if you talked about the reason I wasn't there, but my cat is sick. He is still in limbo, but he is holding steady. So I just want to give an update on that. He's holding steady. I'm doing okay, but yeah, there was a lot I wanted to talk about last week in leveling. I won't get into it too much, but maybe we'll do a leveling 2.0 after Alpha 2 launches, and I'll catch back up. I thought it was another great update, obviously. The hype is getting close. They're still on track for October 25th. They showed quite a bit. We got to see the starter zone, like when we first portal in. Like I said, I kept myself in the dark for a lot of Ashes of Creation stuff. I started diving in more probably in the last year or so. But yeah, I didn't know we were portaling in from another world, but that was cool. The graphics are incredible, obviously. UE5 showing its strengths there. We are stuck to one zone, I guess. Some people could say that's disappointing, but I'm not that disappointed because I know they are building the systems, and we kind of went over this in our previous podcast. They may not have fully fleshed out zones. Like, they may put all their eggs in one zone basket, and now that they have the tools and stuff ready to go, that these new zones will come online quicker. So we got to see the map for the zone. That was awesome. They nailed it again, obviously, and now we're just steamrolling ahead to the end of October and playing other games until we get there.
Yeah, pretty much just kind of delaying the inevitable, the good inevitable. Overall, I thought it looked really good too. There's obviously a lot of good things going on. We got to see a lot of gameplay. Kind of the stream, if you didn't get a chance to see it, was pretty cool. It was kind of like there was like a little hype video they started off with. They had like some content creators, and then Margaret did a kind of like a little kind of like voiceover tour of one of the main kind of cities that you'll probably be kind of playing in. I think it was Lionhold. Sorry. I was a little confused if it was Lionhold or Lion. So
they're Lion.
Yeah. So I was a little bit confused about that, but it looked really cool. Just kind of like the aesthetic and like the world building and just kind of how they had everything designed, I thought looked really interesting. We're super excited. They said they completed milestone 10, which from my understanding was kind of previously based on what they said was like, kind of like they're polishing and like fixing things. And now they're on milestone 11, which is kind of getting everything ready for the Alpha 2 Phase 1 launch.
Server stuff.
Yeah, so stability. So we're in there. Like we're getting, it sounds like we're getting close. I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, obviously there's still always a chance something could get delayed. But it does seem with less than a month to go, they're full steam ahead. So I mean that's a good sign, I think. I think that I expect, even though it's a limited kind of alpha access thing, I still think we're gonna have server issues and things like that, maybe even through the first few weeks of testing. But I mean, that's pretty normal for every game, MMO online game, pretty much, that I've played. It's just, you know, those are some of the limitations of, you know, server stuff. They did say there's going to be like server queues and things like that. Hopefully that'll kind of limit things. I know queuing kind of sucks, but I don't have a problem with it so long as it keeps, you know, when you actually get in, right? You know, it solves some of these issues that we're having with people just trying to like slam the servers and hope that you can get in. Like, I'd rather wait in a queue than just like pray that I get through and that I don't get disconnected and have to go through that whole ordeal again. So hopefully the queuing system's good too, where if you get like disconnected, you can kind of queue back in too. Like, that's important as well. But yeah, I mean, we got a lot more than I was expecting, because they did like that preview of like the starter area. We were kind of talking about it too, like, you know, it's going to be interesting, because they mentioned like the start area could maybe like change as time goes on. Like, it could be kind of like built up, or like, because it's kind of like this broken down ruin. So like, maybe eventually you can kind of like rebuild it or add to it. And we kind of like threw out the idea that it'd be cool, like, if you did that, maybe there's like some benefits, like for new players coming in, like creating a character, like maybe it was easier, or maybe you got more access to, like, I don't know, gear or weapons or something like that. Or it'd be even great if like you're rerolling or making an alt, right? The process is a little bit easier if you kind of contribute to it, if you build it up, which I think would be really cool. But yeah, it was really cool. As you said too, so the main area is the Riverlands. And there's appears to be 5 nodes within it. It's a little unclear, because they showed off the map to I don't know. If you looked at the map, like, some of those kind of outer nodes looked a little bare, in terms of like POIs and stuff going on. So curious if you're still going to be able to kind of build those nodes up fully to, like, I think the limit is like the level 3 node, like the village, if there will be more limited, because they specifically mentioned Miraleth by name, as well as Winstead. So I don't know if those are like the 2 primary nodes that we have full functional access to, or some of these other nodes we're gonna have access to. So like, that'll be interesting. But yeah, kind of, there is the Turquoise Sea, which is gonna be like a lawless zone, and then there's also the Sand Squall Desert, which is gonna act as like a lawless zone. So no nodes, but we will hopefully be able to kind of go into those areas and check them out and see them. And they'll kind of function, he said, as like for the open seas. They're kind of like a test bed for the open seas. So like, when the actual game launches, like kind of like these lawless zones where anything can happen, but there's some benefits to going into them, like bringing caravans, you can get more things. So that sounded really cool. I'm really excited about that. But yeah, it'll be interesting, you know, just with this kind of mainly one area, how like what will we have in terms of like building the nodes and building the nodes up, and how like all these nodes can kind of interact. Cause that's obviously one of the biggest, I think, highlights of Ashes of Creation, is this whole node system, building them up, you know, wars between nodes. So that'll be really fun to see how it plays out.
So about the nodes, yes, they set them up. So I think a lot of people need to realize that, I'm drilling, Steven's pointing in, that this is an alpha and we're stuck in one zone, and there are 5 nodes. I don't think the vassal system is in phase 1. So since we're in one zone and there's only 5 areas, this is going to create a lot of, I guess, chaos is the word I want to say, because you have 3,000 players per server, 5 nodes total. So, you know, everyone's going to be fighting in small areas. It's not going to be like the launch game, but that's kind of okay for testing reasons, right? You can focus more. More people are going to get into skirmishes, see how it works out on the server, see if the servers hold up. I mean, like I said, alphas are not for everyone, and this is their biggest test. Like, from here on out, it's all, we're pushing towards launch. Like, Alpha 2 is kind of like the frame, like the frame for Alpha 2 launch, how they want the game to eventually lead to launch. So yeah, people are going to, not just us, but other content creators are going to be able to, it's going to be crazy on launch day when seeing 3,000 people like pour through that portal in that newbie zone and see if the servers don't melt. But, you know, that's what it is. It's an alpha. And if, like I said, he talked about the queues and stuff, and, you know, like, just deal with, like, you know, don't pay money if you don't want to deal with it, you know? I mean, it sucks, but, you know, we'll get in eventually. I mean, they may have server issues. It's just all a big cluster. They're going to be, like, they're doing a pretty good job, I think. They're being pretty open. They have, like, 9,000 testers, I think, coming in this weekend,
yeah,
which is a lot. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, even for, like I said, they said their team is transitioning into a more, you know, a dev, they're going to have a more dev team looking at long-term development and a live ops team. And now that the Alpha 2 is about to hit, I think a lot of content creators are going to be transitioning too, because the game's going to be playable, just like Ferenczi and I. So we're, like I said, I have a lot of things to say, but we're like almost in this transition period where we have a few more podcasts before actual Alpha 2, and it's going to be extremely difficult for us because, you know, I guess we're going to go over some of the guide they just released, and I have a lot to say. I don't want to, kind of keeping this podcast short because we're yoling it, but yeah, I just want to see how the nodes develop again. I'm a node nerd, I guess, if you want to call it. We call us NN, node nerds. We did learn more about professions or crafting. It's going to be in pretty good, but it's not fully implemented yet, which is, that's okay. They're getting there. And yeah, the map was cool. We got to see the point of interest. There's one dungeon. There's going to be added more. They said they're going to expand the city, so there's crypts underneath. That's really awesome. The graphics, amazing, of course. And I, like I said, a living, breathing world. We're about to make it alive when Alpha 2 starts. And anyone who is not in Alpha 2 is going to see that with all its bugs and funny stuff.
Yeah, which, again, like, that's another benefit to not being NDA too, which I think a lot of games would be for an alpha like this. So if you're interested, but you don't want to, like, commit, you know, pretty sizable amount of money by getting, like, one of those alpha keys, then just watch people. So you don't have to. You can see if it's something you're maybe interested in. But yeah, a lot of good info in there too. Some of this I think was covered in kind of like the breakdowns that we did, as well as kind of like what the big kind of Alpha 2 reveal that they had. But there's some other things too that I wrote down that were kind of interesting. Some I'll go over probably just quickly. Some maybe we can dig into a little bit here. Mounts you can get via quests unlocks was one of the things they said. Maybe, I don't know if there's other ways, but that was one of the things that they talked about. So that's pretty cool. So you can definitely have access to mounts. Some of them, there's some pretty cool looking ones. There was like a
Firefox,
which is kind of funny. But yeah, they did said all base professions will be in. I'm not sure what exactly constitutes the base profession. I don't know if that's purely like, cause obviously there's like gathering, you know, like being like a lumberjack and, you know, a miner or whatever. And then there's also like the processing kind of professions, I think, or part of some of the other professions. So I'm curious what they mean by like the base professions. Maybe they mean like the gathering and processing. I'm not entirely sure, or maybe some of the more advanced ones, like, you know, building ships and stuff like that. That may not be in, quite in yet.
Or furniture building stuff that might not be in either yet.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see exactly what that meant. I guess we'll kind of have to wait and see. They did say there were 700 item recipes in, which is a lot, I would say. I think we will get some fill of the crafting, but they did say it was kind of implemented at a kind of simple level, which, again, Steven was saying.
And like, then they rolled that back, remember?
Well, yeah, they said simple for them, but maybe more complex compared to... because, I mean, a lot of crafting in MMOs is extremely basic. Right. You know, there's really not too much going on. So maybe compared to that, there's a little bit more going on. I don't know. I guess that'll be kind of definitely a wait and see. They said it was like simplified, but they also said it could be kind of OP, maybe potentially crafting based on like, I guess, what recipes you have access to and things like that. So that was kind of interesting. Something, and I did kind of mention this a little bit, probably the thing I'm most interested in outside of just getting a chance to like kind of like level up and things like that is, That he did say that caravans are going to be key for, you know, like your buildings, like, so adding on to, I think, to your different nodes, like when you kind of have different choices for buildings and things like that you can make. So I guess like getting resources and things for like your buildings and kind of building up the node is going to be key. But also he said that like caravans are going to be key for like, if you want to be rich, both in terms of just wealth and also like getting resources, presumably for crafting, caravans are really going to be the way to do that. And he also mentioned, like, you know, your most bang for your buck is going to be taking your caravans and bringing them to like the lawless zones, for example. So the further turn-ins, like the more dangerous turn-ins, are potentially going to have the biggest reward. So like, to me, that sounds like a really cool gameplay loop, and something that I'm super interested in kind of seeing how that functions. It's something I really want to test out, you know, to see, you know, how much is a, you know, a short kind of run to maybe like a nearby node or town or city or whatever, and versus like if you go into like a lawless zone. So that like seems really fun to me, something I'm kind of excited to dig into for sure.
Or I just want to interject, or how they develop the system. Say you're going from, you're taking your caravan from really far away, the further away, like the more difficult the journey, the more it's worth, right? So like, you know, high risk, high reward, like say people hijack your caravan just before you turn it in, like, can they get that full value by doing that, or will they get maybe half that value? So it doesn't incentivize like camping the turn-ins, and hopefully the turn-ins are randomized a lot, otherwise it'll be annoying. But I'm suspecting in Alpha 2 they're not going to be super randomized. I guess we'll see. But yeah, that, if people know how to, I mean, you could take your caravan anywhere. You can go off road and stuff, they said. But the biggest problem is, like, if you get ganked, right, and lose your stuff, do they get the full value? I mean, these are things they have to test and tune. So we'll see how it plays out in phase one. And that's why we're here, to give them the feedback.
Yeah, no, I definitely seem like something I want to test in a lot of different ways. Like you kind of mentioned like the PvPing element too. Like I definitely want to see like if we set up like an ambush on somebody's caravan, like how much of the resources and materials can you gain access to? You know, is that going to be really valuable? Is that like a kind of a, I don't want to say like a lifestyle, but I guess like a style of gameplay that you could kind of engage in? Like you're just a bandit, right? You take other people's caravans. Is that like something that you could kind of like, you know, make your reputation off, make your like entire kind of gameplay based off of, is just kind of being like a raider, a bandit or something like that, which would be really cool to see.
Well, here's the thing. You want to encourage the PvP, but you don't want to encourage the stupid things like camping a turn in or something, or right. It's going to be very difficult for them to kind of tune that in phase one, because we are limited to like one zone and you can kind of spill out into the other two zones. So momentum is going to be limited compared to like launch, right? So based on how we play the game in Alpha 2 phase 1, they're going to be probably changing some things initially, but maybe not, because, you know, we're only stuck in a few zones here, and, you know, very limited ways you can attack or sneak attack caravans in compared to like say the full open continent zone. So just a food for thought. So they'll probably change some things, but you know, they also got to expand the world more to see how people react in the bigger world with caravans than just a smaller area. But it's a good way to test, like, PvP, combat. Maybe their caravans are killed too quick. They can test stuff like that in these smaller environments.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I definitely think it'll be a good kind of good testing bed. It won't be, like, probably representative of what we'll see, because again, like the Sand Squall Desert and like the Turquoise Sea and stuff like that, they don't have any nodes, so there's not going to be any like big nodes, or, you know, there's no like guilds probably going to be like active in those areas, so it probably won't be like super representative. I mean, the whole continent's not even there, so, you know, we won't even get like, what if I take do a caravan run from the top of the continent to all the way to the bottom of the continent, right? You know, the rewards will probably be significantly increased, presumably. But I do really like that gameplay loop. I'm glad that's going to be, it sounds like, in phase one of Alpha 2, because that's definitely something I want to engage in, because that was honestly one of my favorite things in ArcheAge was you do trade packs, and that wasn't even as nearly as interesting because it was cool because like you could get on, you know, like a ship, you could go into like PvP areas. There was like big risks for doing it and big reward, which I think is like what this kind of is about. Like, you know, there's a bigger risk if you versus like going in these like lawless zones or further away versus kind of doing like a simple drop off, but also like you're potentially transporting resources around. Right. So that like that's kind of cool as part of the economy, too, is like, oh, like I have somebody that wants to buy a bunch of iron off of me, but I got to transport it in a caravan all the way there. But it's going to be a big, big benefit if I do, you know, or something like that. So like that's going to be really fun to see kind of like all the political and as well as kind of like the open world and economy stuff and how that's going to play out.
War.
Yeah. And like then factoring in like ambushes and like all these different types of things. But so caravans will be pretty cool. Some other things, just kind of touching on them, feel free to jump in wherever, if there's anything you want to, if anything that interests you.
Ranger? Yeah, that's all I care about. No, I'm just kidding.
which was kind of what I was going to get into. They did kind of, and we'll, again, this might be part of some stuff we get into in our kind of pre-launch, alpha launch content, which is they had these images with like all the abilities and stuff for like the different classes. And it was really interesting to see. And you know, Steven mentioned like some classes are a little bit more, especially like the newer classes, like Bard have seemed like they had like a ton of abilities. It could also be the class too, having more like flexibility and different things that you can kind of like get into and do. But also some of it was just the fact like, you know, like it seemed like certain classes had more of like, you know, abilities that had like higher tiers to it, or like different kind of branches that you could get into. So it wasn't, I think necessarily.
Yeah. I'll comment on that real quick. They did mention it, I think, I'm not sure if it was last dev update, but it was recently, where they are going to do more of a pass on some of the older classes they showed off initially for Alpha 2, because obviously the Ranger and the, what was it, Bard look more, a little more fleshed out than those right now, because those were more recent for the updates. So yeah, hopefully they can get those passes in quick, because like we want people playing as fleshed out as they can for Alpha 2. We don't want like Rangers and Bards being so fleshed out everything else feels irrelevant. So I don't think it will be that way, but yeah, it would be nice. Hopefully we'll see them flesh that out quick. I hope so, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, no, definitely. And other thing cool, it was kind of cool that Steven mentioned too, because obviously there's a lot of abilities and things like that that you can kind of get into, but he mentioned like in terms of like total like skills, active, passive, all that, like based on the amount of like skill points. I think this was based on overall, not just the, you know, current, we're going to be capped at level 25, but I think overall what you'll have access to is you'll be able to get about like 1/3 of those skills. Right. And I think that's pretty interesting, because obviously like, you know, that requires a lot of decision making in terms of what do I take? What do I not take? You know? And so that to me should lead, in theory, obviously there's always going to be kind of like, you know, the meta builders and, you know, the people that want to like have the best, most optimized class. So like, I'm sure some people will lean that way, but also there probably should be a lot of room for variance and like, you know, maybe making like certain types of builds based on like what you want to do. Because if you can only get like 1/3 of the skills, then obviously, like I said, you're gonna have to make quite a few decisions in terms of like what you want, what you have to have, what you don't want, and things like that. So that'll be kind of cool to see how that plays out.
So before you move on again to the next point, they did this in World of Warcraft Season of Discovery, which was kind of like classic. I mean, I don't know if I would call it Classic Plus yet, but I'd stop playing. But you would have initial these hard level caps, and people got pretty creative with like their talent choices and stuff in that. Like, you started at level cap 25 in Season Discovery when it launched last November, which was, I mean, it was cool. It was an interesting idea. It almost felt like what they're kind of doing with the Ashes. Like, it's, you're very limited, but, you know, people messed around with it a bit, and there's always the min-maxers, but it was cool, like, seeing, like, how you could, I guess, do that at level 25, being kneecapped pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of compare it to, like, Deadlock that we're playing, right? I mean, there's so many abilities and items and stuff like that that I think, especially once you start to understand the game, you can start to branch out a little bit from, like, the builds that you find within the game that, like, that's when you can really kind of flourish and shine, and like you can really branch off and find like certain little niche things like that maybe other people are not like finding because they're just purely sticking to the meta min max build and stuff like that. So like I think because you can only get 1/3 of your skills, like you're gonna see some of that variance versus like if you can get like, you know, 80% of your skills and abilities and stuff like that, you know, there's not really a lot of like room for customization because you're not limited in any potential way. It's just, you know, you're going to get the vast majority of things. So with this kind of like limitation, I personally like that. Again, I think it will eventually lead to like the min-maxers, the meta builds. But I do think there's going to be room and opportunity for people to kind of like branch out and like find some of those cool little builds or like, you know, really build a character how you want them. So like if you want them to fulfill a certain role, like maybe for, you know, a ranger, maybe you get some, especially when, you know, the classes actually come into play versus just like the primary archetypes, like maybe you like being kind of like stealthy and going behind enemy lines. So maybe like you can kind of build that in with like a, you know, it's like kind of like a scout with like some rogue abilities. Like that should be kind of interesting to see once we get to that point too.
Yep, that's also true. And it's also just the discovery. Like, you could say people are min-maxers, but there is so much we're going into Alpha 2 that we don't know. Like, what's the best loot for, like, this phase? Like, it's almost like, I mean, like I said, it's like a launch of a new MMO. Like, no one, it's not like a relaunch of, like, say, like, Lost Ark in North America. People in Korea already figured that out, right? Because they've been playing it for years. So, like, will there be min-maxers in Ashes of Creation? Probably. I mean, there are in every single game, but I think it's going to take a lot longer to get there, especially with the game moving at a swift pace, like, or development pace, like it is. So, not like your modern MMO, where things do change from expansion to expansion, but at least in World of Warcraft, things don't change too crazily these days. Like, I mean, it's not as crazy as it used to be. At least back in the day when they started messing with a lot of different mechanics and adding new abilities, it's more of just like they're adding new stuff, but it's not as crazy as it was when the game first came out. So
yeah, for sure. And it'll be cool to see like the variants and things like that. And I don't mind if people min max either, and I think truly like the players that end up being the best are the ones that are able to kind of deviate a little bit from like the meta builds and stuff like that. Like, you know, like I said, Deadlock is like that. Like, if you can kind of like, oh, I see my team, the enemy team is doing this, if I take these abilities instead, right, that's really going to benefit us. And that could be like a, you know, a game defining thing if you're able to do those types of things. But yeah, we'll push along here. I mentioned this more because it was just funny, but there's like the mention of jumping puzzles, which what we saw really wasn't that much of a jumping puzzle. It was basically just one jump. So I'm curious to see. It sounded like there was maybe the potential for like expansion on this. You know, other MMOs have done jumping puzzles and things like that. So I'll be curious to see how far they take it. But it was pretty just funny just because, and I guess Steven, they re-recorded it. And the time they re-recorded it, Steven nailed it first time. And the other two developers, Margaret and Bill. They failed like 10 times.
They need to learn to play Mario. That's all I got. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. There could be more jumping puzzles. What they showed was pretty basic, but obviously that's, you know, we'll play and find out. There's no point in showing like all of them. I wouldn't really call that a jumping puzzle. You just like jump from one ledge to the other and you're kind of on the roof. But there could have been more to it for all we know, and they just didn't show it. So yeah, I don't want to read too much into that right now. Cause
yeah,
obviously there's something there, but they maybe just don't want to show it yet, or, you know, want us to figure it out later.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I feel like this next point will be maybe the most controversial in terms of, I mean, I don't know between us or not, but for a lot of people, because in the chat as it was happening, it was, you know, there was a lot of mixed feelings for sure, which was they did kind of I guess let everybody know that there's going to be AI voiceover based on developers adding their voices. So it is not like they're taking a voice actor and kind of taking their voice and using their work and propagating without, you know, them kind of being involved, which is kind of, obviously there's like a whole ethical thing. AI is still Under development, I have some thoughts on it. I don't know if you do, but
maybe I should get mine out of the way first, because I like, everyone has, like, I feel like with AI, people have, you know, extreme takes on it. There's a lot of people don't really have, I say, moderate takes on it. You know what I'm saying? They're either on one end of the spectrum or the other. And I understand it's a new emerging technology that is scary. It is a scary technology, and a lot of people don't understand it, and it's fair to be scared of it. But I think, you know, you gotta accept two facts here. Video game development is crazy expensive, right? And I'm not justifying any AI use in this, by the way. I'm just saying these facts, why AI is kind of creeping up on us in the video game world, and will probably spread further than that. Game development is expensive. One, and two, I mean, if you have these powerful tools, people are going to use them, whether Intrepid uses them or not. Other studios are using them actively right now. Now, you can argue the ethics all you want, right? But it seems like they're taking a more reasonable approach. World of Warcraft now uses AI tools. A lot of people don't know, they did a developer interview, but they use those tools to free their artists from doing silly tasks, like they design a piece of armor, but then use the AI so it will fit all classes and or all races, because they have different sizes and stuff. And that's okay to me, right? I mean, it makes it so they're not replacing the artist; they're just making it so the artist doesn't have to do goofy stuff like that and can spend more time doing art. AI voices, I guess, they're doing it from insourced, in-house software and voices. I guess you could probably say if this is the most ethical way of doing it, and that's still debatable, that would be it. They're not stealing anyone's voices. Their developers hopefully voluntarily agreed to this or are getting paid for it. Yeah, I mean, it's just a big can of worms, and I think it's going to be hard for some people to accept that this is knocking on our door right now and ready to come in your house. And the fact that if we want games big, faster, deeper, crazy as Ashes of Creation, I feel like AI is unfortunately going to be an inevitability, because, like I said, building a world this big, like, Unreal Engine already has some of these procedural generation tools built into it, kind of, that you can almost consider them kind of like AI. It can assist, like, if you move assets around, it will automatically rebuild that area, and then you can fine-tune it yourself to save time, so we're moving that way regardless. Whether any of our listeners out there agree with this is the right direction, that's up for another debate. We're focused on Ashes now, but I'll just give my view on it. AI is inevitable, unfortunately. I don't think it has to be, and I'm not super upset that they're doing AI voices. I'm conflicted, but at the same time, I feel like, What am I going to do, right? Like, I guess I could not play the game, but I feel like they're not doing it crazy enough for me to justify for me not to play the game, right? You know?
Yeah. And I won't get too into it, because truly that would be like for a different type of podcast, like getting a lot like more into like the ethical and like the philosophical kind of ramifications. So I definitely have my own thoughts on. I understand, like, AI is definitely part of things. Developers are using it. And there's definitely some concerns with, I mean, there's a lot of concerns with AI. But I'll try to take it more, just, I'll focus it a little bit more towards just.
Before you go on your, I think there's more concerns than, you know, helpfulness right now. And I don't think enough is being done to address those concerns. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah. I see it a lot. My job, definitely there's some AI usage, for mostly bad things, not great things, but I'm not going to get into that. But, it's like I said, it's interesting. It's definitely going to be a part of things. I actually could see there being benefits certainly to AI in certain situations. And I don't mind it as like a placeholder specifically. And again, trying to take it more from a game point of view rather than like the broad perspective. But One, I don't think it sounds very good. And I know they said they plan to work on it and like expand it and improve it and things like that. But I still think like it'll never come close to like what a good voice actor can do, right? Like it's never going to replicate that. And I understand like they may not have either, maybe they don't have the financials they want to commit to it currently or in the future, or maybe it's more just like there's too much text to be read and things like that. And so I totally understand like that. But to me, it's just very, it can be very immersion breaking hearing it. And some of it was okay from what we saw, but some of it was not great. And for me, I would just rather, well, I'd either A, read the text box myself or the text to myself, or just skip it, right? Because I think like a lot of people do that anyways.
You make an excellent point there. Maybe they should have a thing where you can just turn it off. Like maybe this is AI voice acted, right? I think at all is AI voice acting. Maybe not all of it. Maybe the NPCs are, but maybe there's an option just to turn it off for now so you can read it and you don't have to hear it. I mean, I don't know. It's an alpha. They probably won't allow that, but that may be an option for people in the future. Just throwing that out there. I know it's such, I honestly hate talking about stuff like this because I feel like it's not, it's creeping into our games whether we like it or not, so.
Yeah, and like there's a whole like this is not like art or anything like that, and there could be a lot of stuff with art because it, you know, art oftentimes AI and art, like, you know, it's taking from copyrighted works and things like that that people have actually created, so like there's that'd be a lot worse obviously. It's a little bit different when it's just in-house devs kind of getting into it, and like I said, I'm not gonna get so much into like the outside the gaming world of things, but to me, like if they plan to, like they really want this lore to be included and they want it to be immersive and stuff like that, I hope they just pay some voice actors in the future, because I think it's gonna just sound a million times better and more interesting versus just kind of listening to AI kind of monotone drone on and things like that, because it just didn't sound that great to me. Some of it sounded okay, but I do know, like, you know, I play a lot of like lore based RPGs, you know, like Baldur's Gate. Like you could never ever get like that type of performance from AI, so like to me it can make such a big difference when you have like good voice acting and stuff like that. Or you know and it doesn't have to be all the, you know, maybe it's just like the quote-unquote main story quests or something like that could be more, you know, using voice actors, and the rest could, you could just read it. So again, I'll just kind of leave it at that, because again, I don't want to get into like a big philosophical debate over it. I know it's kind of a contentious issue, especially in like the tech sphere and, you know, gaming as well, but yeah, it was just something to bring up, but is what it is. I do appreciate their kind of being upfront about it as well and transparent, you know, because a lot of times we've seen developers and tech folks and things like that, like, you know, people would find out after the fact without revealing, hey, there's AI in this, which some people obviously don't like. And so they are being very upfront and transparent about it, which I definitely appreciate that element of it too. So
that's another good point. They're at least telling us before we play Alpha 2, so we're not like, oh, wait, this is AI. That's better than most, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think that's good. But we'll move along here as we kind of get towards the end of things here. Another thing I just thought was cool, and I certainly appreciate. I'm sure a lot of you will, MMO players, gamers in general. But Steven very clearly emphasized that there is, and obviously in Alpha 2, I wouldn't expect anything. But going forward, you know, through launch and all that, zero pay to win, which I think one of the issues that we found lately is developers will say there's no pay to win, but they have their own definition of what is, you know, pay to win, right? We've seen that in some of these like Tarkov-like games recently that have popped up where it's like, oh, it's not pay to win, but or Tarkov in general has some pay to win elements. They're pay to convenience. To me, I don't find much of a difference personally, but
so I'm gonna interrupt you again. You just gotta look at the past of games that made that statement, no pay to win, and then we're like, put in pay to win, and see the, how about Arc Age? We remember that game, like, you played it in the beta, no pay to win, and then when it launched, it went pay to win, and that game pretty much killed that game, so, you gotta keep to your word, or the backlash will be biblical, and, you saw that in Tarkov recently, and that had some pretty horrible backlash, so again, don't say these things unless you're going to commit.
Yeah, and a lot of it, unfortunately, is just whether it's intentionally deception, you know, being deceptive, or just not like understanding like the general community's perspective, or whether that's, you know, for the game or like the game gamers as a whole. But, you know, a lot of like some developers would say like, oh, pay to convenience isn't pay to win, even though it really is.
Again, it is.
And some people will disagree with that.
No, I'm sorry, but pay to convenience is win, because I'm just going to give another game example. Path of Exile, right? I like the game, don't get me wrong, but like, certain seasons and game content in the game have, you got to buy the storage chest for them. Now you could play the game without that, right? But that organizes it for you automatically. That's pay to convenience. And if it gives you a time advantage, which it does, that's pay to win, basically. I know a lot of people are like, well, that's not pay to win. You're just paying to make life. I mean, to me, if it gives you an advantage over someone else, that's pay to win. It's that simple, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you can buy more storage, if you can do all this stuff, you are having an advantage over someone else. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, particularly in MMOs, you know what I mean? And because, like, progression is everything. So, like, if you're getting any advantage, even if it's just like, oh, like, I'm busy, like, I'll just, like, buy this XP booster or something like that. And, you know, that's not a big deal. And sometimes it's not a huge deal, but, you know, it just kind of like taints, I think, the integrity of the game, which Steven did bring up, right? That was something that he talked about, which I really appreciated, you know, because like, you know, everything you do in MMO is really, you know, whether it's your gear, whether it's your level, whether, you know, all these different things like your crafting, right? You know, that it makes a difference when you can say all of that is from you. It's not from like a little booster or, you know, like things like that. It's not I bought it and, you know, things like that. So I think especially in MMO, and I think that's why a lot of these MMOs recently have struggled, is because a lot of them have contained either pay to win, pay to convenience, even if it's in small doses. And I think that makes a pretty significant, you know, difference, especially for a game which is, you know, a genre, I should say, which is really all about, you know, progression, like your progression, like when you start to kind of like influence that in the game world, you know, through real money, that really, to me, it just kills it, right? To me, like, I just will not play any MMO. There's other games I will play, right, where there's some pay to convenience and things like that. Tarkov, one of them.
I've played Guild Wars 2, it's got pay to convenience. They also don't have a sub model, which is different. I don't, like I said, pay to convenience to me is, it's annoying, but if the prices aren't insane. Also, Guild Wars 2 has a way, if you just play the game enough, you can convert your gold to gems and then buy the said convenience, which is another okay way of doing it, in my opinion. Like, you technically don't have to spend money if you just play the game enough, and you can get, you may not get everything as fast as someone else who does just buy the gems or whatever outright, but at least there's a way for you to get it. Right, so there are some games there is no other way. Like, I'm pretty sure Path of Exile, you cannot earn premium currency, you have to spend money on it. So if you want those special storage chests to make life, organizing your life 10 times easier than going through your stash, you gotta pay.
Yeah, and there's just like also like the factor that, like, I don't know, it just, not only does it kind of taint the game, but it just, I don't know. It's hard to explain for me. But yeah, he did say no pay to win, no pay to convenience, no inventory expansion, which I think has been kind of like things which a lot of us, whether it's through Path of Exile, whether it's through Escape from Tarkov, which I think people tolerate a little bit more, because it does give you, even if it's a minor advantage, it does give you an advantage. So that was just kind of nice to hear, honestly.
It was.
And hopefully that doesn't deviate, and hopefully, again, because developers certainly, again, we've seen them take their own interpretation of what's pay to win.
That's where I think pay to convenience came from. Like,
yeah. And the two, one thing I'll say too, like, and I know a lot, and the problem with like pay to convenience, pay to win we'll just say pay to convenience, right? Kind of say, and I do think that it's pay to win, but that might be up for some debate by people. But I think it, like, it starts to impact game design decisions as well. Cause like, what do you want people to pay, right, for convenience. So what do? You make the game more grindy, right? So like all those different things, like, it starts affecting the gameplay itself, because they want you to spend money, so they're going to do things that force you or certainly encourage you to, like, you know, swipe your credit card.
The simplest way to put it in a pay-to-win game is they create barriers for you, so you swipe. Basically, they make the game more difficult, so you swipe.
Yeah,
that's what pay-to-win is to me. And like I said, I guess we're kind of delving into some controversial stuff today, but I guess it's important our takes are kind of known. But yeah, pay-to-convenience is just to me another term for pay-to-win. It's just they just changed it up a little bit. Like I said, I don't mind it much in Guild Wars 2 because they allow you to convert your in-game currency to the premium currency, and then you can buy whatever pay-to-convenience you want. As long as there's still a free way to get it, it doesn't bother me too much. But if there is no free way to earn your premium currency in game for people who don't want to spend money, like Guild Wars 2, then that to me is a problem. Like, but again, Ashes isn't going down this route, which is good. Kind of went on a little because I guess we've been burned by so many games like Ashes that have been into the pay-to-win area, kind of like Arcage is one of them. They relaunched the game in called Arcage Unchained, where they stripped out all the pay-to-win and then freaking added it anyways again. Just
we're
sick of it.
Yeah, we deviated a little bit, but I do think it is worth mentioning because Steven brought it up, and it is so. I think it is so crucial, especially to an MMO. Listen, I'm not trying to sit on my high horse. I've played War Thunder, and I've absolutely swiped my credit card to make that experience easier. I've embraced it.
Yeah, we've done it. I've played Clash Royale on my phone. I spent quite a bit of money on those little monthly passes.
Right,
we are guilty of being a part of these systems, but I've been trying not to as much.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it makes a difference too for, you know, the game type, the genre. The MMOs is just, for me, like, I just will not, if there's like some benefit to be gained, small or big, whether there's currency that can be earned freely and purchased, doesn't matter to me. Any kind of advantage like an MMO to me just ruins it, because progression is so important. But I'll leave it at that as we kind of wrap things up here. So it's just some quick stuff, just kind of finishing off. There was the mention that potentially there's going to be like multiple paths in the starting area. I don't know if that's if like you pick a different race, maybe you start on different sides of the new area, or if it was more just like you can kind of, maybe there's like quest chains or like different things you can kind of get into, which I think kind of interesting. That'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, certainly as my favorite phrase is how that plays out. There was also, I thought it was just kind of a quick, and maybe this will be the last point, unless you have anything else you want to add. He mentioned like how recipe drops are going to be kind of like a big thing, especially for like non crafters, you know, people that aren't interested in that, because this is kind of like one of the ways that you can participate in the economy, right? If you're not actively like crafting and engaged in that, like, well, if you get recipe drops, you can probably like sell those and, you know, give those to people or trade and barter. So like, that's kind of a cool thing. I thought that they're not just, you know, like, hey, you have to craft, you have to be involved in it. Like, hey, but there's, again, and this is something I've mentioned before too, when we've dug into it, like whether you're just getting materials like off of, you know, bosses, like, or you're just the gatherer, or you're just like getting like these recipe drops, like you'll have a chance to participate in the economy and make your own money just by kind of doing the things that hopefully that you want to do. So hearing that was pretty cool as well.
Yep. Good things that they're all tradable, hopefully.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to?
I think you missed the biggest point.
Oh.
That the game is going to have no box fee when it launches. We're just so when the game comes out, Steven said, you just pay $15 for the sub a month and you can play the game. So you don't have to spend $60-$70 up front and then the sub fee. Obviously, people who bought packs are spending more, but you also get free sub with that, or you get cosmetics and subs. So
yeah,
on extended into launch. But yeah, so that's pretty huge, actually, because a lot of the upfront costs in some of these MMOs is, at least World of Warcraft, not only going to pay a sub fee, but you got to, you know, they're, you know, you got to spend, most people spend $90 on the expansion, especially with this most recent expansion, because, you know, you got 3 days early access, even though it was kneecapped. And apparently a lot of people didn't do it from what I'm hearing. So I guess that's a good thing. I did it and it was stupid and I regret it. And hopefully they don't do that with Ashes. Like, even though I bought a expensive pack, I don't want them to give me a head start.
Yeah.
I don't. I want to, for a game like this, Please, Steven, if you ever listen to this podcast, to the end of this podcast, do not give anyone a head start. Like, especially in an MMO, it really breaks the game.
Yeah, I will also add, as you know, and because I was extremely stubborn about the Diablo 4 early access, because even though, like, you know, that game's a little bit more isolated, but especially with an MMO, like, anything that's, like, kind of a shared space and there's, like, progression as a focus, like, I just don't, like, there should be no early access, right?
It gives too many people an advantage.
Yeah.
Like, especially in a game like Ashes, like, if you get a 3-day head start, it's for an open world sandbox game, it's just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Like Diablo, you could say it was stupid, right?
Yeah.
You can play 5 days earlier, but I felt like it was irrelevant. It's basically just ways of them increasing video game prices.
FOMO.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's basically them a way for them to increase the price of games to get you to spend more and be like, yeah, you get to play early. Everyone else doesn't. You know, you can spend your $60, but you can't, or $70 nowadays, but you have to wait 5 more days to play, right?
And yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, I've spent a lot of money on early access games. It works on me. Okay, I am guilty. Okay, you can lock me up. I admit it. I've done it many, many times here. But for Ashes of Creation, I beg them not to do it for this.
I will ride my high horse on this one. I don't. I avoid early access at all costs.
Okay, he's better than me. He wins cookie for you.
Yep. No, I just, you know, for single player games, it's like whatever. I mean, it is FOMO, obviously, you know, especially in today's day and age where, like, you know, content creators are everywhere. And, like, you know, now it's like, oh, if it's early access in single player, I got to avoid everything, like social media. I got to avoid Twitch. I got to avoid, like, any chance of, like, seeing stuff and, you know, being spoiled for me. But yeah, anytime there's, like, a shared progression, especially like a multiplayer emphasized game or, you know, an MMO in particular, I think is especially vulnerable to this. And, you know, things will always get rationalized, like, oh, like, they're, you know, maybe the season hasn't started. Like, I think that was the big thing in Diablo 4. It was like, oh, like, it's season zero.
I said it didn't matter because it wasn't in a season. I probably should have said it didn't matter. Like, I mean, hey, I'm human too, but I just think early, like I said, we went over a bunch of topics today. They went over to, like AI and all these things are here to stay because they work. Early access works. You can tell because Diablo 4, millions of people spent for the $80 or $90 version to, or even $100 version to get in to play early. And it's worked for many other games also. So I don't see this stopping. Hopefully Ashes and Steven's philosophy avoids that. I know we've talked into a lot of things not related. I guess it's kind of related, but, you know.
Yeah, that may have to be a question to see if I can get answered.
I guess because we're getting so thin on content as Alpha 2 gets here, we're kind of going off into these other...
No, no, I mean, we're so getting...
These are important, though, I think. I know you, most people out there want to hear, but I mean, we're, you know, I spent $250 on the pack. I don't want early access, okay? So there you go. There's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I definitely get it. And believe me, it's tempting. Like, I was very tempted in Diablo, especially because, like, you have, like, friends playing and you know, you want to play with them and stuff like that. And they have access. You don't have access. And, like, you know, you all want to be, like, on the same kind of starting field, you know, the starting, you know, mark, if you will, you know, because even if, like, you know, certain people are going to, you know, there's always going to be people that can play more than you, right? That's just a part of life and there's nothing you can do about that. But at least I want to know, like, we're at least starting at the same place. So even if I have less time to play than other people, I can kind of be like, well, you know what? They have more time to play. That's fine. But at least I kind of know where I stand. It's not like, oh, they got a, you know, 5-day early access start. So, like, I you know, and I didn't, right? Versus, and that can kind of compound issues too. Like, you know, people that are getting early start, maybe you're dumping a ton of time into it and things like that on top of, like, the benefit of getting that extra time. But
we just got to do what Steven does. Every time he does a dev update, he's like, this is not a work in progress, right? So every time we do a podcast, we got to be like, no early access. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I'm just going to drop it. You know, we're like I said, we're getting into, like, rambling here over something we're excited for. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said, they're important talking points, but They need to be had. We were going to eventually have them anyways once launch came around. So I guess maybe once we get closer to launch, you can reference this so you at least know where we stand, right?
Yeah. You know, I think maybe too, we're just kind of like on the eve of a launch.
We're in limbo here.
Yeah, we're kind of on the eve of a launch.
We're in limbo here. It's like in less than a month, hopefully, if all things go well, obviously, we're going to be playing Alpha 2 and streaming it, hopefully. Obviously, you guys, we're a little smaller site, so most people will be watching the big streamers, but that's okay. It's not going to discourage me. But yeah, like I said, they're transitioning on the Intrepid Studios, and most content creators are going to be transitioning also, and that includes us because, the game's coming. I mean, Alpha 2, right around the corner, less than a month away, so gear up.
Yep, and this is also the first time we've ever recorded in person, and I think our initial thought
of that.
I think it was initially we were like, we'll just do it for like, you know, it'll be a short little one, and then
we were gonna test it eventually, but we never did, and then you know, good old hurricane knocks out my power. I gotta go. I'm gonna be leaving right after this, and I got no power in my hot house where he's got AC and I don't.
Yep, but so
and no PC.
Yep, rip. That's the true struggle. But yeah, we'll wrap things up here. Sorry if we got a little off track, but you know what? It's good. It's things that are relevant, and it's certainly things Steven brought up. Maybe not so much the early access, but it did kind of feed into like the pay to win stuff, which he spent a little bit of time talking about. And so I thought it was worth kind of digging into a little bit here. But yeah, we'll wrap things up here. Hopefully everything sounds okay. I'll be spending some time in the editing booth, so to speak, making sure everything sounds as good as it can. I do apologize in advance if there's any issues, but I will try my best to make sure we are clear and free of those. Obviously, if you enjoyed our long discussion here, subscribe and like, comment, all those things that you can do on YouTube to help let us know. If you are listening on other podcast services, subscribe and again, you can kind of listen to us there. Again, we're all on all major podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple podcasts, and all that good stuff. But yeah, we'll wrap things up here. We're less than a month away, so we're getting pretty excited here. And we didn't really talk about what we were gonna, you know, really dig into next. It'll probably be something related to something probably they covered in the guide, whether it's classes or like some other topic. So look forward to that next week, and we'll see you then.
Peace.